So we're talking about the design of the studio, and in particular the way the speakers work. Yeah.
Well, I was saying that the these huge monitor speakers, we have a pair of them in each control room, which came over on a boat from Japan, where they made them custom. They're custom specified. The guy who designed the acoustics, who actually drew the blueprint of how the studios and control rooms should be built to accomplish what we wanted them to sound like, specified the monitor speakers, be recessed into the front wall so that they themselves do not interfere with the sound. And what that means is you get a very flat response. By that I mean the audio comes out of our console directly to the amplifiers, directly to the speakers. It's not going through EQ or anything to modify the sound, which is great. However, these speakers, which they're four feet wide by 3 feet tall,
yes,
or maybe more than that.
Maybe a bit more.
They're big and heavy.
Yep.
They have a huge tweeter horn, a wooden tweeter horn on top, and two woofers, and they're huge, and they sound great. But we know that not everybody has these in their car because they wouldn't fit in your back seat. We know people don't listen, unfortunately, with this amount of quality. So we also have two intentionally bad speakers right here.
Oh, right. I wondered what those were.
Yes.
I thought perhaps they were talkback speakers or something.
No, these are intentionally mediocre speakers, which actually more closely, unfortunately, represent what a lot of people will hear.
Yeah.
So after we set up a glorious mix, which this isn't, but... Okay, we've just heard that on the great big lovely speakers. But before it leaves here, we will also check it down here, because this is more like reality.
And what on certain occasions that will show you what?
It will show me that if you take away the extreme high and low end that the big speakers are capable of, that it changes the whole nature of what you thought you were hearing.
So might you end up remixing something?
You'd make an adjustment.
Yeah.
You'd say, oh, well, I thought the vocal was loud enough, but now that I hear it down here, I'm struggling to understand some of the words. So
you might
bump up the vocal, or, you might say, oh, I thought the bass was just perfect on the big speakers, and then you lose it completely on the little ones. So you change your EQ or change the level of it or whatever. So, part of the quality control is listening. Now, the way I do it, and that this is just me, I mean, I like to mix on the big speakers. Mm. I like to hear what I'm doing and hear it in glorious hi-fi. But when I play the mixes back, just to make sure there's been no technical glitches or whatever, I play them back through the little ones so that, if I notice something, oh, that's not what I thought was going to happen, I can go back and fix it. Having said that, having done this in this building for 20-something years, I pretty much know what it needs to sound like on the big ones to be right on the little ones. Because, after a while, you just learn the room, you learn the sound, okay, this translates to that, this is what we like, this is what they want. But, I just wish everybody could hear what we do
through those speakers.
Through these speakers, because what you are hearing through these big speakers is really what we do.
Yes.
By the time...
And it is strikingly different. I mean, one of the things I've said to you about being here, even when I was listening to soloists singing through there, or whether it's you playing this, is the sheer quality, the sense of, to use that word I keep using, bigness, mm-hmm, all the time, is so remarkable.
Well, and also, no matter what processing we may put on a mix, which varies, but no matter what we send out, once it gets on the air somewhere, the radio stations will just process it just like they process their music and everything else. It goes through multiband compressors and limiters and processing and digital this and everything to make it as loud as possible on the air and all this. So it just changes the character completely.
Yeah.
So hearing it on the air is like a very dynamically compressed, equalized, hyped up version of what Left Here. But that's one reason why we don't do an awful lot of that sort of processing here, because we know it's going to happen there, and if it happens twice to the same piece of music, then it really can be unfortunate.
It's interesting, because what all that reminds me of is A, the making of the custom jingle Coast demo you talk about, and also the making of the WABC film, because they both end by saying, here's what it sounds like to the listeners. And essentially what you're saying is, when you're making this stuff here, you will test, as far as one can, what will it sound like actually in somebody's car radio somewhere.
Yeah.
Listening as a radio listener would listen.
Yeah, and I mean, you can't totally do that, because there's so many different kinds of speakers and
kids screaming in the background and that kind of thing. You wouldn't want to. Yeah,
there's only so much you can do, but... we have a good idea how it's gonna sound. Now, I remember, I don't know what made me think of this, but back in the days when Radio 1, before they were on FM, when it was just on 247 or 275, 285, depending on the year.
Yeah.
1083,
1089. Yeah,
okay. I'm just trying to show I remember all this stuff. I want to pass the exam. But one of their engineers, actually, when I was there on one of my visits, they showed this to me. One of their engineers had constructed a box that very faithfully reproduced what their audio sounded like on the air. So you could play something into it, a jingle or a song or whatever,
yeah,
and it would do some processing to it. And when it came out the speaker, it would very faithfully resemble what it would sound like broadcast through whatever processing and equipment and so on that they were using. And so, you know, they used to test stuff, and this was just a small little unit you could have in somebody's office.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So they would play stuff through there to get an idea of how it would sound through the air or on the air, and it was very accurate. It was very clever, because Radio 1 had a particular sound. I don't know technically what they did to make it, but you know, if you were listening or just dialing around, you could pretty much tell when you'd landed on Radio 1, even if it was in the middle of a song. So they had their unique audio signature, and this box mimicked that. And you know, we used to listen to the jingles through there and make sure that they were going to be okay, you know. And a lot of stations back in the AM dominant era, you know, that they some of them just had a sound to them, a technical sound to them. I mean, you could be dialing up the AM dial, and if you landed on WABC, you knew without question it was WABC, no matter what it was, in the middle of a song, in the middle of a commercial.
Because you would from any voice the WABC, because that heavy reverb they were using. They didn't reverb on the songs, presumably.
Oh, they would reverb on everything. There was reverb on everything. But, you know, it was that, and also the compression and the equalization. Yeah. I mean, it was just unique. It had a sound.
Would you... either way back when you were working for PAMS or through Jam, if you knew what you were producing was something for an AM station, that was an important ingredient in your starting point putting the jingle together, because jingles which are going to be heard predominantly on AM need to sound more, I don't know, have more treble or whatever it might be, or is that very, very naive? You can say yes to
that. That would... Well, it would affect the mix slightly, in that you might peak the higher, and this is getting technical, you might peak the higher end of the mid range on the vocal tracks. You might give it a little extra kick around 5K or 4K or somewhere in there, just because, you know, that's really the heart of bad speakers. You know, because all this stuff we're hearing on the big speakers today that's down at 40 hertz or up at 15 kilohertz is great, but it's never going to make it through those little ones. But what will make it through those is, you know, that 300 to 5,000, which is today pretty much all you hear on AM anyway. But so, you know, we would emphasize that slightly.
Mm.
But, you know, just really the thing is, if it sounded good on our big speakers and you could still understand it on the little speakers,
yeah.
It was okay.
That's your test. All right. Thank you.